Thank you all in Jesus' name this morning. We're glad to have Brother Johnny here with us last Sunday, but I guess along with that comes then giving up Brother Jerry to go preach somewhere else. He's in Pine Grove this morning, Jerry Nestor. Have you ever gotten a gift, something that you were just wishing you could have and you just longed for this gift, and then finally somebody gives you that gift and then you just put it away and you don't even receive it? Or maybe you've been on the other side. You've given someone a gift that you thought this is what they really wanted. You understood that this is what they desired, and then you gave them this gift and they took it, put it away, never looked at it again. Probably not very often that it happens, but you can turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 23. And this isn't exactly what took place here, but we'll look at this story and we'll break in reading the last part or middle of the chapter here, I guess. 2 Samuel chapter 23. This is a story about three mighty men, basically. But we're not going to be focusing on those three brave men here. We're looking at David's offering here and focusing on that more. I think we'll read these verses, start verse 8. If I can see. These words are shrinking in my Bible. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had: the Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief of the captains, the same was Adino the Esnite. He lifted up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. And after him was Eleazar the son of Dodo the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. And after him was Shema, the son of Agi the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it, and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. And three of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time unto the cave of Adullam, and the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. Just stop here for a minute. So these were no slackers, these three guys. The first one had killed, 800 men at one time by himself, basically, I think. And not sure what the next one did, but he wrought a great victory too. Fought so long that he could. Have you ever beat on something with a hammer or an axe till your hand was so tired or whatever, you couldn't even hardly let go? You had to basically pry your fingers off with the other hand. That's quite an attempt he made here. And then this other one defended this piece of ground against all those Philistines. So these were brave men. I'll continue reading here. Verse 14, and David was then in an hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. So he was basically under siege here, besieged by the Philistines. And David longed and said, oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And the three mighty men brake through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof. He poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. So here we see these men that risk their lives basically to go get this drink of water for their leader, for their king, and put themselves at great danger, broke through, and I'm not sure what all took place, but they went to this stream or the spring in Bethlehem and brought this water back to David. You know, there's something in each of us probably that when we think back to something that we enjoyed when we were small, we were young, and it can take on a significance to us that probably isn't even quite real. I don't think that was the case here in David's life. I think this was good water. But you know how it is sometimes when we enjoyed something when we were small, and then later in life we just wish that we could have that again. And sometimes maybe we have that chance, we find that it wasn't so great after all. And just as a side note, I think this water probably was very fresh, and we think we have other references in the Bible of that. I guess if I would think back to the waters of my youth, I would not want that water in Fort St. John, and some of you know that. I thought it was bad then. I think now it would be even worse, but that's beside the point. But anyway, David had this longing for this water that he had enjoyed when he was young. And so when they brought this water to him, he didn't even enjoy it for himself. I think there is something unique about this simple act of David pouring out this drink as an offering to the Lord. It shows us the great value that he placed on that. It would have been very natural for this warrior to, let's hold up here, to have that thirst for that water. I'm sure water was scarce where he was, hold up. He had a great thirst for that. And sometimes our nostalgia also causes us to look back on things that were readily available to us at one time and maybe not so much anymore. But often our nostalgia is maybe a bit unrealistic. But David here desired this, it was brought to him, and he made the sacrifice. The sacrifice, I'll use the word sacrifice, offering interchangeably. I'm not sure if exactly the same always, but another word sacrifice is the act of offering something to a deity that is precious, surrendering something, to give something up that is valuable or precious. So we'll look at a number of things here that this offering was. And I'll let you obviously do the mind leap of how it applies to our lives. It was a common thing. This water that we sacrifice in our lives, that we offer, is many times small details of life. You know, water, we don't necessarily, this was great value that this water had, but in our lives, so things that we need to offer to our master are often not great things, very significant. Water is very common in this world, and the things in our lives that we need to offer are also things that are readily around us as well. I think we don't need to be looking for some great thing to do in order to show our heart's devotion to our Lord and Master. It can be done in every day things. You know, every daily mercy that comes to us is an opportunity to glorify God. And it can be in a multitude of small things, you know, that's just a moment in time when we have a moment to worship and glorify our God. Sometimes I think, if you're like me, you think, well, I don't really have time to have a proper worship experience here right now. Hopefully tomorrow I'll have more time to set aside and then I'll be able to worship better. But when we have those moments of time, when we have a time of quiet, us and the Lord, that is the time that we can give our offering to Him. You know, it doesn't have to be an unusual amount of time or unusual space. It can be right where we are working. And I think too often also we think that our offering or our sacrifice to the Lord will have to take place when we have more time to give Him, give it to Him wholeheartedly as in service. Like maybe once we don't need to work anymore, then we can go serve somewhere and that will be our wonderful time of service. But does it happen that way? Probably it's more important for us to have that sacrifice to Him now. I've heard of situations already where a person went or was going to go to another land and they were just so glad that they could finally serve the Lord the way they always wanted to, but yet other people had noted that it was really hard for them to ever have time to have someone in their home when they were called on, or to have them over for a meal, someone over for a meal. It never suited, but here, yet the same person was just looking forward to being able to go serve in another land. Well, that's not quite how our service, our offering needs to work, I don't think. So let's take the opportunity of the things that are readily available to us, whether it's our time or just something that someone could use in their life that we're not really using in our home anymore. Maybe we could bless someone in that way. All right, the next point, kind of the opposite of this now and more like it was in David's life, but it was a costly thing. This water was secured at the possibility of the cost of the lives of these three men. The jeopardy of their lives, it said in verse 17. It said, "Be it far from me, Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives?" You know that a common thing is made precious when it is purchased at a great price. Isn't that how pretty much everything gets its value? It's depending what people, what value people put on it, and especially if it is purchased at a great price. You know, there are pearls, there are jewels, different things that are purchased that have such great value because of how hard it is for them for it to be gotten. And that's how this was in David's life. It was at a great price that it was received. And that's how I think each one of us has any value at all as well, isn't it? Because of the purchase, of our purchase price, Christ giving His blood for us. He bought us by the suffering that He went through. We just sang that song that His visage was marred so that people couldn't even look at Him. I would imagine there were people that probably would have pretty much passed out just by looking at how He was beaten and His blood running down. And He did all that, gave Himself nothing that He had done, but just so that He could purchase us. And that's the only reason we have any value. David was wise enough not to offer to God a sacrifice that had cost him nothing. Just show that, illustrate that some more by going to the next chapter, 24. Verse 24. Actually, I'll read some more verses here as well. Read verse 18. And Gad came that day to David and said to him, "Go up, rear an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Arunah the Jebusite," or we could say Ornan. And David, according to the saying of God, Gad, so he went up as the Lord commanded, and Arunah looked and saw the king and his servant coming on toward him, and Arunah went out and bowed himself before the king on his face upon the ground. And Arunah said, "Wherefore is my lord the king come to his servant?" And David said, "To buy the threshing floor of thee, to build an altar unto the Lord, that the plague may be stayed from the people." And Arunah said unto David, "Let my lord the king take and offer up that seemeth good unto him. Behold, here be oxen for burnt sacrifice and threshing instruments and other instruments of the oxen for wood." All these things did Arunah as a king give unto the king. And Arunah said unto the king, "The Lord thy God accept thee." And the king said unto Arunah, "Nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offering unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing." So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offering and peace offering. So the Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel. So we see that, again, his attitude that if it was to be an offering for the Lord, it needed to be something of value, not just leftovers, not just something that nobody else wanted. He paid for this land, even though he could have gotten it for free, and offered it to the Lord. Next, go to Malachi. Chapter 1. And verse 17. Or, sorry, verse 7 to 14, the end of the chapter. Here are people offering that which was not the best, and they're condemned for that. "You offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer this, the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? And now I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This hath been our means. Will he regard your person, saith the Lord of hosts? Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do ye kindle fire on mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts, neither will I accept an offering at your hand. For from the rising of the sun even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles, and in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering. For not my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye have profaned it, in that ye say, the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. Ye said also, behold, what a weariness is it, and ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And ye brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick. Thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this at your hand, saith the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and voweth and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. So here they obviously had better things. They had good that they could have offered, but they offered the lame and the sick, and God was very displeased with that. He did not accept that. And I think the challenge for us is to be careful that we also bring the best to the Lord, that we also offer the best. They gave that which was diseased and that was no great sacrifice to them, was it? Sometimes I think it's more easy for us to leave that which is extra rather than the first fruits. And I'm not here saying this at all about any offerings at all. This is more a message to me than anyone, to make sure that my offering to God is what is most valuable to me, not what is something I can't use anywhere else, and that can then be given to the Lord. Proverbs 3 verse 9 says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of all thine increase. Is that going to be acceptable to God? I think so. I think if we give to the Lord what is the first fruits and not the leftovers, and like I said before, our offering needs to be everything that we have, whether it's our time, our free time, or if it's something that we think that we can hardly afford, maybe needs to be given to the Lord. Number three, it was a desirable thing. David longed for this water of Bethlehem. It was a desirable thing. When he made this offering, it was something that his soul longed for, and he thought was something that he cherished. So him giving this offering to the Lord, then it was a desirable thing for him as well. It's easy to offer to God that which we no longer have a capacity to enjoy. Isn't that how it is for us sometimes? Something in our life that maybe God is asking of us, a talent or something that we enjoy, and we have a hard time giving that up till maybe at some time later in life we no longer have the time for that, or maybe no longer have it's no longer that close to us, and then it's easier for us to give that up, isn't it? Give that up to the Lord. But when is he asking us to give that to him? Isn't it when it's dear to us, when it's desirable to us? I think often it is. Just read a quote. It says, many people readily part with their goods for charitable purposes when they are looking death in the face, who, while healthy and vigorous, held them greedily with an iron hand. And it's referring to earthly goods, to money maybe. But isn't that human tendency to be ready to give that up when it's no longer going to be any value to us? There's no sacrifice in this. David here poured out this water, and when he did that, he was giving to the Lord that which was at that moment the best that he had. Present yourself unto God. This may be your most valuable thing. Ourselves. Isn't that the most valuable thing, the hardest thing we have to give up sometimes? All right, number four, it was a consecrated thing. He said he poured it out unto the Lord. He consecrated it to the Lord. He refused to use it to gratify his own longings. You know, even water spilled on the ground like this was not lost. And it maybe at times when we pour out on the ground of our lives some water, that it can be used to better receive the water of life that comes from the throne of God. Well, sometimes in nature or in earth, when water is poured on the ground, it makes the water softer so that it can again soak up more water easily. Like maybe if there's some frost in the ground or we pour water on it, it can help to melt that so that it can then be ready for planting sooner, right? And in our hearts, I think sometimes when we pour out, make an offering to the Lord, it can help our hearts to be more open and ready to receive blessings from God as well. Everything becomes holy that is given to the Lord, in a sense. Psalm 116, verse 12, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me?" I think the answer to that is everything. His benefits to us are there ready for us to receive them. But I think maybe at times we limit how we can receive the blessings of the Lord by not, first of all, pouring out, just use the word water, on the ground for his benefit. And then number five, this was a thing not to be taken back. 2 Samuel 14, verse 14 says, "For we must needs die, and are as water spilled on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Neither doth God respect any person, yet doth he devise means that his banished be not expelled from him." Do we ever consider taking back for our own use the sacrifice that we have laid on the altar? I think at times maybe we can be tempted to try to do that. We have given something God has asked of us to give. Maybe it's our time, maybe it's a responsibility we've been called to, and we thought we sacrificed that to the Lord, and we were all on board with that. We were going to give this to God, and then later on we tend to decide that this isn't really the sacrifice I had in mind. Do we want this back? This part of our life we want back for our own use. Is that going to be okay with God? I don't think so. Is that going to be any value to us? I think we have to be careful with that. Whatever we have given to God is His forever. David was perfectly conscious of the fact that in pouring out the water unto the Lord, it could never be his again. I mean, that was quite obvious, right? In the physical act of pouring water in the dirt, can't get that back. But do we realize this? Do we realize what this means for ourselves? If we have given ourselves to the Lord, then we are not our own. As the scripture says, we are not our own. It is, we could probably call it sacrilege on our part to take back for our own self-gratification that which belongs to God. When we think of if God was physically here in person, then we would give him a gift. And then we go back and say we want this back. Now, I don't know how absurd that would be. But let's not do that in the things that we offer to him either. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20. "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." our bodies and our spirits, which are God's. We are not our own. We are bought with a price. Also, 2 Corinthians 5. I'll just read a few verses here. Second Corinthians. Verses 14 and 15. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So we see here that we are bought with a price, and it's only reasonable that we then offer ourselves back to him. So that's all I had on this message. So let's remember that there are many things that we can offer to him, many things that we do offer to him. Common things, whether it's a moment in time that we can pray for someone maybe, or glorify God in reverence to him in prayer, or maybe we need to set some time aside, make sure that is something that costs us something, maybe a time that we would have liked to maybe spend doing something for ourselves, but we can in that way also pour out something that has great value to us, something that is desirable. Just remember that God is worthy to receive our offerings and our sacrifices. Let's stand for a word of prayer. Dale, would you please stand?